Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I ask you today, as I look in 1 Kings 17:4, where the Lord said, "It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." The Lord would have you to be fed. He would have you to drink. So you see the two aspects of our needs, having food and drink and raiment. Let us therewith be content. Elijah the Tishbite was a man who wore a leather kind of garment to cover his body, and he was provided for by the Lord. The Lord says to him, "I've commanded ravens to feed thee there." Now, the Lord is in charge, so much so until he can change the nature of a raven. Instead of being a taker, be a taker and then be a giver and a provider. I suppose the nature is there all along, because a raven will take from other birds and provide for its young. And so it's no problem for the Lord to direct the nature of a raven to that of providing for the Lord's little ones. Now, the Lord is able to use ravens to take care of Elijah. Look at Elijah's condition, the state of which in which he dwelt. He was a man who loved the Lord. He was not an angel. He had parents. He came from a certain geographical area. He was, the scriptures say, he was a man of like passions as we are. You see, angels don't have the feelings that we have. Angels are created beings. They don't have guilt. They don't have experienced depression. They may experience opposition, but they don't experience defeat. And the scriptures tell us, and looking at angels, I don't want to get off on that, but that one angel said, Michael, when contending about the body of Moses, does not dare bring railing accusation against Satan, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Well, we have in the scriptures a record of a man who is provided for by ravens. Now, the Lord took care of this man in an unusual way. And the application for you and me is this: have we gone to the place where the Lord has the ravens going to take the food that we need? Are you being provided for with the food and drink? Now, he provides for him by a brook when the Jordan River was very nearby. And if you will recall, in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, a man by the name of Naaman said the river of Jordan was a muddy river. He didn't want to be ducked in that river. He wanted to go to a better river. And to have food brought by a raven, is that going to be the kind of thing that a man who serves the Lord is going to have to rely upon? The Lord did use it. And the Lord will use that for you and me if needs be. If his plan says that he'll provide for us through a raven and through a little brook, he can use that, because he has not changed, has not lost any of his power. So are you being fed where you are? If you're not, then are you in in the place where the Lord would have you to be? Father, we're thankful again for the word of God, and I ask for power. Anoint me now to minister to thy people. Blessed Holy Spirit, speak through me to these who've come by means of radio, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, in the book of Genesis, we have been considering now how the Lord told Noah to come, thou and all thy house, into the ark. So the Lord is concerned about your family. He's concerned about what matters to you. He told Noah how to build the ark, and he told Noah what to put on the ark. And again, in, we saw in verse 22 where Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. In verse 5, Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And the scriptures tell us in verse 6, the age of Noah when the flood waters came upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. You can see, indeed, this was a flood. I point out in passing is that this was not a local flood. This was a universal flood. The water in this flood exceeded the height of the highest mountain by 15 cubits. That's 1.5 times 15. That's 22 feet higher than the highest mountain. Now, water does not stack up. Now, of course, because of the gravitational pull of the moon, there is the tide, that the high tide and the low tide. But this was a flood that lasted for about a year. It was not an overnight thing. This was a long calamity on the earth. And so the flood was over the entire earth. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month. Now notice the specifics that are given. They're given by the Lord. They're written, recorded by Moses. The information had been passed on. The Lord gave to him the words that we need to know about this flood. And the scriptures tell us of the two sources for the flood waters. The fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. So there is water under the earth on which the plates of the earth were resting upon, like a big cushion. And the Lord broke these up so that the water is now going to come through the breakup of those plates, and water comes from those up, and the water in the heavens come down upon the earth. And there is a tremendous flood. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, the Lord tells us how that the earth was watered. You see, when the Lord tells of the waters that there were, the water didn't come down from the sky, that there was a certain mist that went up from the earth and watered the earth. And so the plants had their fill of water, and there was water on the earth enough, so much so, until everything on the earth had sufficient water. The Lord is the one who provided the water for these creatures and for man, that these would be cared for. And so I can think that probably one of the reasons why they rejected the fact that water was going to come down from the sky. They had been used to the Lord doing things the way the Lord always did them. And so now they are going to have water come down from the sky as in judgment, coming up from the ground in judgment. One thing that was a blessing to them now will become a curse because they've disobeyed the Lord. So the two sources of the waters, the flood waters. And in verse 12, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And that, again, is significant. It was not a flash flood. Remember I said that and the moon will have a gravitational pull on the Earth. During high tide, the moon is on the other side of the Earth, and the waters rise along the shore on one side of the world. When one side of the world is having high tide, the other side is having low tide, and this happens twice a day. The tide comes in, goes out, rises and falls twice a day. And for 40 days, this rain was going to come down, 40 days and 40 nights. Continual rain falling. As a child, I'd heard of the flood, and I told you that I used to think, oh, this is going to be a flood, but I didn't know anything about what the Lord had promised about the rainbow, how that the rainbow was a promise from the Lord, a token to man, that the Lord was not going to destroy the earth anymore by water. The scriptures tell us in verse 13, and in the self same day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, Noah's wife and his three children and his sons with them into the ark. They have no children at this point. Just eight people go on board. And they and every beast after his kind and all the cattle after their kind and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah, into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein the breath of is the breath of life. So the breath of life now is in the ark. The life is going to be in the ark, not outside of it. Now there is air outside the ark, but who can tread water that long? And if you go to the high points of the earth, remember the Lord knows where those high points are. He knows what's on the earth, and you can't outlast God. Your program will not outlast God's wrath. He has, and he can work it, and will work it like this many times, that you think that you have enough stored up resources to where you can weather a storm and you won't have to cry out to the Lord. The storm stops the day after your resources are gone, and even before you will call upon the Lord. Now, I've seen this happen again and again. People have their plan in place, and they think, there is no problem. I've got enough stored up. Yeah, well, there's an illness, or there is some kind of dilemma that God can operate in and with, and the storm will last one day longer than your resources, one day longer than your strength. God in his mercy will see to it that way. Will you call out to him? Perhaps there's one now. You're on that day. You're in that day. Will you call out to him now? Will you trust him? Or will you say, oh, it'll get better? No, trust the Lord today. Father, we thank you for the storm, the record we have here in the Word. We pray thee to use this example, this message, this portion of Scripture to speak to some heart for Jesus' sake. Amen. I invite you to join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson in Greenville, South Carolina.